Welcome to another message from God's Word. We're studying Matthew, the 23rd chapter, which is an absolute denouncement of false religion, and specifically the leaders of the Jewish religious society. There are seven woes denounced against these people. The seven woes, the seven damnations, righteous indignation in motion and example, righteous indignation. Ua dehimen grammates, kai pharisior, hypocrite hote, cliete, tain basileon ton uranon, emma prosten ton anthropon hemes. A long verse. Gar uk eis erkeste ute tus eis ercomenus afiete eis elthane, that is. Ooh, woe, pain, calamity, travail. A little interjection. It is is an onomatic paid word. It means the sound of it tells you what it is. It's great moans. Oh, if you go out on the battlefield and you hear men in great pain, it's and that's what this word means. If you look at catastrophes and car wrecks and train wrecks and everything, there'll be people moaning and screaming this word right here. Ooh, oh, 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 woe, calamity, pain and travail to you all scribes, and to you all Pharisees, and to you all hypocrites, actors, movie stars is what basically it's talking about, hypocrites. These are people that would act and play the parts of different people. They would take two or three masks or four masks, and they would get behind a mask, and they would act and play out as if they were that person. Then they come over here, the person they were talking to. And over here, another spectator, whatever they were playing all the parts. They were hypocrites. They were actors. I remember when I lived in Fish Lake Valley 30 or 40 years ago, I used to always go back to Bakersfield to the doctor, and I'd visit my mother and my children. And I'd go back there, and I'd usually meet my mother someplace. She didn't cook. I cooked. My mother didn't cook. I would go to her house and cook for her, but I would meet her out in restaurants. And there was a Carl's Jr. restaurant on Rosedale Highway. And I went in there one time waiting for my mother. And there was one guy in there, and he was mentally ill. And he was playing the hypocrite. This man would get over here, and he was in a big booth. And he'd sit over here in this one place, and he'd argue over there with people on the other side, which weren't there. And then he'd sit over here in another place and argue back to that person and to the other people that were imaginably there. And he'd get over there, and he had four different people that he was playing their parts. And my mother came in, and she looked over and I said, watch this. He would get from one seat to the other, and he got pretty boisterous at different times and banging on the table, and get over here on the other hand, bang on the table and point his finger at that imaginary person back and forth. He was playing a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. He was a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. That reminded, I'll never forget that example of hypocrites. These scribes and Pharisees were hypocrites. They were actors. They weren't for real. They didn't really look at God in their hearts and humble themselves to God and beg for forgiveness and forgiveness of sins. They thought they were above it all. Oh yeah, they had their sins, but they would not acknowledge them. And when Jesus acknowledged their sins of infidelity and adultery, spiritual fornication, and divorcing their wives without a cause, because they wanted another one, prettier and younger, or that have more children. He didn't denounce them for having more than one wife. He denounced them for getting and turning their used wives out on society without hope. He got them. He got them. He lambasted them. They hated him. You hypocrites, because you lock up and you shut down the kingdom of God from the heavens. You take people and lock them out. The Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses, the Catholics. The leaders shut people out from the kingdom of God. They lock them away from the kingdom of God. Mormonism today. Mormonism today is a different structure than what it was in 1930 and 40. In 1930 and 40 and so on back there, if you go to the temple and Salt Lake City, Utah and everything, you go through and you see all these ordinances and all the different things that Joseph Smith borrowed from the Masonic Lodge, by the way. You go through all of this and you see the golden plates that he was supposed to have received from God, and the revelations of polygamy and all of that. You now have historical documents that prove that he was a liar and a cheat. That he ran around on his wife, that he seduced and demanded that the missionaries that went out and left their wives at home, that he could marry them and literally have sex with them at least once. To what we call seal that marriage. We know that he did not have the stones that he looked into to translate the Urim and the Thummim stones to translate the golden plates, which didn't exist. They all know all this now. This is nothing but a con job. But they have a system. A religious system. They'll talk about Jesus, they'll talk about the Apostle Paul, they'll talk about Peter, they'll talk all about these people. But they have a religion. That religion builds up the family and holds family ties and honor and respect to a deity. But when you start trying to talk to Mormons about God, you find out that they have a monstrosity of an idea of God. That we're all gods. And that God the Father is just ahead of us more than Adam God and all the rest of them. We have to try to catch up. That women are objects of pleasure, and that a woman cannot go into the kingdom of God or be resurrected at all unless the husband calls her from the grave, the resurrection. All of this monstrosity of religion is there and in place. But they realize now that was all a lie. But they didn't leave the church. They're still there. Catholicism. I have had more success leading people out of Catholicism than any other thing in my ministry of 50 years. They do believe in the Bible. They believe in God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, they believe in all of that. So when you lead them to saving faith in Jesus Christ without a priest, sometimes they just come forth out of that false religion and leave it and scream to great joy. Had one student for several years that was in my Greek class at Valley Baptist Church. Wonderful man. Got saved and I've had my students get saved in my Hebrew and Greek classes. They come to the saving knowledge of Christ, that they are undone before Christ, that they need to ask God personally for forgiveness by the merits of Jesus Christ and Him only. Then they come to be saved, and so was this man. He said, "I hope you forgive me." He said, "I'm going to go back to the Catholic Church and I'm going to try to convert the priest first. And I'm going to try to drag my family out of that the best I can. That's going to be my calling, is to go back and try to reach them for Christ. The systems are there. It's hard to walk off and leave that. The Jews, they are saved Jews today, but many of them still go to synagogue. They try to witness what they call a Messianic Jew. Religious systems. Jesus is denouncing religious systems here. The scribes and the Pharisees, hypocrites, because you lock up the kingdom of God away from those. It would be better if they never heard of Mormonism or Catholicism or Jehovah's Witness. It would be better. Charles Taze Russell, Judge Rutherford were charlatans. And yet people still follow them today. In the face of mankind, for you do not enter into the kingdom of God, nor the ones entering into, wanting to enter into the kingdom of God, you allow them to enter into the kingdom of God. The hardest words from the lips of Jesus Christ falls upon those who were the religious leaders of the Jewish society of that day. The Pharisees and scribes' mouths called for blows. You ever hear somebody get up and rail on somebody until somebody finally strikes them? Their mouth called for blows. Well, their mouths were calling for blows here. And Jesus gave them spiritual blows. These people were custodians of the kingdom of God. But by their teachings, they obscured the road to God. The key to the door they locked up and threw away. Now we're going to go to verse number 15. 14 is not in the original language. Uah, that calamity word, that onpetipik word. Uah himen grammates kai phorisioi. Hypocrite hote periagete tain thalassen kai tain thereon. Poiese hina proelsaliton. Kai hoton genete hoiete auton huion genes di flo teron himon. The more converted to Judaism they were, well, the more perverted they became. The more converted and deeply grounded in Phariseeism and the what we call Orthodox Judaism, the more perverted they came. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, because you go around the sea and the dry land to make proselytes. And when he may become, you make him the son of, two times the son of hell. You convert all these people. Jehovah's Witnesses go to door every day. Door to door to door to door to door. All the time trying to reach people. The Mormons do the same thing. For what? The gates of hell. They're opening wide to these poor people. Verse 16. Uahimen hode goi theloi hoi legontes hos on Umose en to nao ude esten hos de an homese en to chriso tu nao ophile. Woe to you, leaders. Now these are the ones that are supposed to be showing the road to them. This is the people, these are the guides. These are the guides. Blind guides. The one saying, whoever he may swear, fits himself in, is what it means, by the temple, the holy place, nothing it is, who but forever you may swear by gold of the temple, he is indebted. They split hairs about oaths. They just split hairs about oaths. As Jesus had explained in Matthew 5:33-37, between the temple and the gold in the temple, he owes his oaths, literally. He has been fenced in by his oaths and bound by his oaths. In other words, he has made himself guilty of the fine and payment by swearing. The gold didn't make the temple holy. If anything made the temple holy, it was God. 17. Morons. Moroi. Chi, Tifloi. Tis, Gar, Maison, Eston, Ho, Chrysos. A, Ha, Ho, Naos. Ho, Agiasos, Ton, Chryson. Morons. And blind ones. What is a moron? Huh? Moron. Somebody that doesn't know anything. No education. Absolutely no education. No understanding. A moron is somebody without understanding. People without understanding, blind ones, which is greater, the gold or the temple? The one having been made holy by the gold of the temple? Let's go back and read this from the Amplified now. Up to where we are. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and pretenders and hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You shut the door in their faces. And you shut it and you lock it. For you neither enter it nor are you allow those who are about to go into. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and pretenders, hypocrites, for you swallow up widows' houses. Now, this one's not in the original language. And for pretense to cover up, make long prayers, therefore you will receive the greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes, and Pharisees, and pretenders, and hypocrites, for you travel over sea and land to make a single proselyte. And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him doubly as much a child of hell, Gehenna, as you are. As you are. Verse number 16. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, if anyone swears by the sanctuary of the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the sanctuary, he is a debtor and bound by his oath. You fools, he says in verse number 17. Which is greater, the gold or the sanctuary of the temple that has made the gold sacred? Verse number 18 now. Kai hos on omose ento thisiasa teroi, teroi that is, uthan esten hos de on homese ento doro, to epano. Auto ophile. And whoever he may swear or fence himself in by the altar, that's the place of sacrifice. Now the altar in Hebrew means the place of slaughter. The place of slaughter. The altar was this place of slaughter. Now let's look back here for a moment. And this is the altar. Right here is the altar. That is the place of slaughter. This is the tabernacle now. It's not the temple. But in the temple, there was a place of slaughter and a washing basin, a great big basin of baptistry, so to speak. And this place of slaughter with the horns of the altar on it, the place of slaughter was where animals died. It was a place of slaughter, a place of death. Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, that was the altar. That was God's altar of sacrifice for you and me. By the altar, nothing is whoever he may swear by the gift placed upon the altar he owes. Verse number 19. Tifloi tigar maison to duron. Eto theosoterion, to hegeazon to doron. Blind ones, blind guides. Now, can you imagine? This is the story, Marilyn. Now, if you had to go through a minefield, if you wanted to go through dangerous cacti and trails out there, would you pick a blind man to lead you through that? Would you? No way. You wouldn't do that. How about you out there? Randy Little, would you want somebody to guide you through those cactus in Texas, around through those rattlesnake-infested places that is blind? No, we wouldn't want to do that. Blind ones. For what is greater, the gift of the or the altar, and the things sanctified on the gift? 20. Houn homosas en to theosteron omno en auto kai en passe tois epano auto. For therefore one, the one having sworn by the altar, the sacrificial, the place of slaughter, he swears by it and by all the things upon it, all of the dead sacrifices that have died upon us. Verse number 21, Kai ho omosas en to nao omne en auto kai en to kata oike kunte auto. But the one having sworn by the temple, he swears in it and by it and by the one inhabiting it. Who is the one that inhabits the temple and the tabernacle? The inhabitor of the tabernacle and the temple, the priest came in here and served, but the inhabitor was the Shekinah glory of God. God inhabited that. Now what makes a sacrifice holy but the one who accepts that sacrifice? Let's stop right there on verse number 21. Let's go back and read the rest of it up to that point. This is a series of damnation and woes and calamity to these people. You may say, too, whoever swears by the altar is not duty bound. But whoever swears by the offering on the altar, his oath is binding. This is the mission and the Talmud, by the way. He's condemning the mission and the Talmud. You blind men, who is greater, the gift or the altar which makes the gift sacred? Whoever swears by the altar swears by it and everything that is upon it and everything that died upon it and everything that, every sacrifice. Whoever swears by the sanctuary of the temple swears by it and by whom who dwells in it. Whoever swears by the sanctuary of the temple swears by it and by he who indwells it. Who is the one that indwells God's churches today? It is God's Son. He said, where are two or three gathered together, I will be in the middle of you. Jesus said, if I go not away, I cannot send a comforter. If I go away, I'll send a comforter to you. And where you are, he will be with you. Wherever you are, he'll be with us. You know, God's Word and God's Spirit are with us today as we preach His Word. And it goes out to you throughout the world. The Spirit of God is not contained here. He's everywhere. He's with you wherever you are. Marna in Australia. Gary in New Zealand. All of you, wherever you are in the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God is working with you. Donald over there in all the way over there in Wales. Nancy, Randy, all of you, Mark, wherever you are, up there in Canada, back there in Pennsylvania, in New Jersey, New Hampshire, wherever you are, as you listen to these words today, the Holy Spirit of God is with you, interpreting those things to you. guiding you in the study of your word and in the consecration of your life for him and the honor and glory of our God who giveth his word and honors himself in it. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out to each and every one of our faithful students. Father, I pray for them. I pray for their safety in places that are not safe to be a Christian. I pray for them that they will lead their families to you and the true knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, please forgive me where I fail you.